Minneapolis. Only the FBI has the evidence. How does that work when the administration already announced its conclusion? It's Morning Edition from NPR News. The president told the New York Times the only thing constraining his power globally is, quote, my own morality. Amy Martinez.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. A new NPR Ipsos poll shows the number of people who see the U.S. as a moral leader is fallen. Also, the president celebrated the chance to take oil from Venezuela, so why aren't U.S. companies in a rush? And Michael B. Jordan charts his path from a pediatrician's waiting room to a movie star. It's Friday, January 9th. On this day in 2007, Steve Jobs showed off the iPhone for the first time. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Police in Portland, Oregon say that federal agents shot and wounded two people yesterday in a medical clinic parking lot. A Homeland Security spokeswoman says that Border Patrol agents stopped two people they identified as Venezuelan gang members who were in a vehicle. The spokeswoman says the driver then tried to run over the federal agents. But Portland City and Oregon State authorities are furious. They're demanding that federal agents leave the city. Oregon State Representative Ricky Reese says the federal government cannot be trusted, but citizens must protest peacefully.
I just ask the community to please stay aware, stay alert. If they're planning to protest, please do it in a peaceful way and just let our police, law enforcement do their investigation.
The shooting in Portland came a day after an ICE agent shot and killed a woman in Minneapolis. The House passed a measure yesterday to restore subsidies to people paying for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. These subsidies expired last year. The House bill would extend these for 3 years. This plan is not as popular in the Senate, but a bipartisan group of senators say they're close to a compromise. NPR's Sam Greenglass reports House Republican leaders did not want that measure to come up.
The vote was a blow to House Speaker Mike Johnson, who vehemently opposes the subsidies. But Republicans were able to team up with Democrats to successfully force a vote on the measure.
The bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
This 3-year extension won't likely become law, but boosters of the subsidies on both sides of the aisle in both chambers say this vote is rekindling bipartisan negotiations. Lawmakers involved in the talks say they're nearing a deal for a 2-year extension with some changes Republicans want. Those sticking points remain. Sam Greenglass, NPR News, Washington.
Russia confirms it struck Ukraine overnight with an advanced hypersonic missile. The attack on the capital, Kyiv, included drones. At least 4 people were killed in the attack, and more than a dozen others were injured. NPR's Joanna Kakissis reports from Kyiv.
In Kyiv, the strikes were heard for hours. They caused fires and power outages. Air Force spokesman Yuri Ignat described a ballistic missile strike in the western region of Lviv, which borders NATO country Poland. Russia's defense ministry said it used the Oreshnik missile system in these strikes. Oreshnik missiles can travel up to 10 times the speed of sound and can carry nuclear warheads. Russia's military says it targeted Ukraine for an alleged attack last month on one of Russian President Vladimir Putin's homes. The CIA has debunked this claim, which Ukraine also denies. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, Kyiv.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. President Trump says he has canceled a second military strike on Venezuela. Writing online, Trump says that big oil companies will invest at least $100 billion in Venezuela. No energy corporations have publicly announced such plans. Trump will meet oil executives today at the White House. In an interview last night on Fox, Trump also said he would meet Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado next week in Washington. The scope of President Trump's White House ballroom project is becoming more clear. NPR's Tamara Keith reports on yesterday's public hearing before a planning commission that is dominated by Trump appointees.
A White House official and the architect leading the ballroom project presented an overview to the National Capital Planning Commission, including drawings and renderings of what the structure, as designed, would look like next to the existing White House. Architect Shalom Baranis said the ballroom will seat 1,000 people and have a footprint of 22,000 square feet. There had been talk of going bigger, but
further consideration of enlarging the size was abandoned in late November.
He said the overall project is 89,000 square feet. The commission didn't vote on the ballroom. That will come at a future meeting. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
The man accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in 2024 will be in a federal courtroom today in New York City. Lawyers for Luigi Mangione are fighting to avoid a possible death penalty if he is convicted on the federal charges. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation. For nearly a century, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at Mott.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Hi, I'm Elsa Chang from National Public Radio. We bring you the news and voices of people across the nation each and every day. We are proud of the work that we do, but we want to remind you that local affiliates like KAXE bring you the voices of your friends and neighbors. From arts reporting on area voices to local and state sports or clean energy and economic development, they reflect what life is like in rural northern Minnesota. Your support is critical to the work they do, where you learn about high school students in debate, to the sacredness of water and wild rice, to the history and future of forests in the region. Being a member makes this all possible, so please go to KAXE.org.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington, D.C.
And I'm A. Martinez in Los Angeles, California. Two incidents this week call attention to shootings by federal immigration authorities.
One was in Portland, Oregon. We have very limited information so far. The Department of Homeland Security says agents shot two people during a traffic stop and that the two people drove away. DHS issued a statement casting all blame on the people who were shot. That is what the Homeland Security Secretary also did after a shooting in Minneapolis that was caught on video. People in Minneapolis want immigration agents out of their city after an ICE officer shot and killed 37-year-old Renee Good on Wednesday.
NPR's Meg Anderson is in Minneapolis. Meg, you were at the protest we just heard from last night. So what's the mood there like?
Yeah, you know, it's been somber here and mostly peaceful, but defiant. At the march last night, the weather was awful. A freezing rain was coming down. A lot of the sidewalks were covered in a sheet of ice. And there were still hundreds of people there. Community members were chanting, holding signs with messages like, "Ice melts under resistance." I saw one in Spanish saying, "We scream for those who can't." Most of the protesters I spoke with told me the shooting on Wednesday made them more angry than afraid. People like Caitlin English. She lives in the Twin Cities.
It's been sad, but it's also been uplifting because we understand what's right and what's wrong. Seeing community come together for this cause and uplift other places to be inspired, it's amazing.
And you know, she told me she stood on this same street 5 years ago protesting the murder of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer and says she felt the same way back then.
Okay, now what can you tell us about the shooting itself?
Well, there's been two big developments in the last day. The first is that NPR has confirmed the identity of the ICE agent who killed Good as Jonathan Ross. Officials with the Department of Homeland Security have said that he is an experienced officer, not a recent hire. The second development is that the FBI took over the investigation, and state authorities say they do not have access anymore to evidence in the shooting. That means that the federal government is the only entity looking into a shooting committed by an agent of the federal government. Yesterday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz questioned whether that investigation would be fair.
Do you know if federal officials have spoken much about the victim, Renee Good?
Yeah, a witness told NPR that, you know, they thought she was a legal observer, and federal authorities have used that to label her as an extremist. Here's how Vice President J.D. Vance described her.
That woman is part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and to make it impossible for our ICE officers to do their job.
But, you know, that is just not how her family and friends have spoken about her.
Oh, so tell us how they've been describing her.
Well, a reporter from the Minnesota Star Tribune spoke with Good's mother. She described her as the kindest person she's ever known, said she was not involved in any kind of anti-government activity. Good was the mother of three kids. The youngest is about 6 years old. We know she had a home repair business with her wife in Kansas City. We also found what appears to be her Pinterest page. And, you know, that page, to put it simply, is filled with the things of a normal human life. Ideas for recipes and haircuts, plans for a garden, and tips on parenting, like how to soothe a child's anxiety and fun things to do with them in the summer.
All right, that's NPR's Meg Anderson. Meg, thank you.
You're welcome.
Trump administration officials have made the Minneapolis shooting part of their messaging war. They have rushed to be the first to claim that they know the motive of the woman who was killed. President Trump said she, quote, viciously ran over an ICE officer, which videos do not show. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and Vice President Vance also used their taxpayer-funded positions to disparage the motives of a citizen.
That woman was there to interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation in the United States of America.
These vehicle rammings are domestic acts of terrorism. We're working with the Department of Justice to prosecute them as such.
The president's border czar, Tom Homan, was more restrained on CBS, saying, quote, let the investigation play out and it would be unprofessional to comment. Elliot Williams has been listening to all this. He is a former U.S. Deputy Assistant Attorney General and former senior official at ICE. Elliot, welcome back.
Hi there, Steve.
Based on the evidence that we have, do you think you know Renee Good's reason for being on that street and driving the car as she did?
Steve, I have absolutely no idea why Renee Good was on that street and driving the way she did. Now, and quite frankly, neither does the Secretary of Homeland Security or the Vice President of the United States. That is why in countless investigations over the course of time immemorial, federal officials, when speaking about police-involved shootings, typically have held back providing comment before all of the facts were known. At a minimum, Steve, there's a factual dispute as to why she was there, whether the officer might have had a lawful basis for shooting her, and it behooves everybody, particularly the Vice President of the United States and the Secretary of Homeland Security, to exercise some caution before all the facts are out.
And I guess we should note, many people thought they knew everything they needed to know from whichever video they preferred on the first day, but we've seen more videos, more analysis of videos, comments of loved ones and friends of Renee Good. There's a statement about her having dropped off a six-year-old just before the incident. We don't know how many minutes she was on the street exactly. There's a lot of stuff that is not known at this point, right?
Absolutely. And again, you know, quite frankly, I would even advise caution in trying to glean too much about the background of the victim of the shooting because, you know, to be frank, even good people sometimes do bad things. But let's be clear, there is no evidence, at least that I've seen publicly, that this individual did, Renee Good did. Now, to be clear, what is known is that there's conflicting information about even directions that she might have gotten from law enforcement. Was an officer telling her to stop or was another one telling her to move on? And those are the kinds of things that any investigation, Steve, would go into if it were allowed to play out properly.
Interesting that you mentioned the investigation because Meg Anderson noted for us the FBI has taken charge of this investigation and state officials are complaining they've been shut out and not allowed access to the evidence. Is that normal?
It's not normal. Well, what is normal is turf battles between state, local law enforcement, quite frankly, even within law enforcement agencies, ICE, where I worked for about 5 years, the two major offices within ICE, immigration and customs, are often at odds with each other over the very existence of the agency. So that's nothing new. Yes. Now, this idea of freezing out state and local officials is quite remarkable. And let's be clear, and here's why. there was a homicide committed in Minneapolis. It may not have been a murder. It may not have been a manslaughter. It may not have even been illegal at all. It may have been an exercise of proper law enforcement. But that's for the state. States typically are the ones who investigate homicides, unless they're hate crimes. And so this idea that state officials cannot investigate one of the basic laws of their jurisdiction and work with federal law enforcement really is a departure from certainly much of what I've seen. Again, they can have their differences, but it's quite wrong to freeze them out.
And then I want to connect these two things we've talked about. We've noted that senior officials in the administration, not all of them, but the president on down, have said they already know what happened here. The president has asserted that he has complete control over the Department of Justice and all law enforcement matters. And it is now that Department of Justice that says we alone will investigate what happened here. What questions does that raise? What questions are raised in your mind by that?
Well, they've already made clear, if the president has made clear that nothing, there's nothing to see here, how can we trust the Justice Department will exercise a proper investigation? Quite frankly, the person who's been most measured and most respectable in this, believe it or not, is Tom Homan, the White House border czar, whom you quoted or cited at the top of the interview. I worked with Tom for many, many years when I was at ICE. And to be clear, you know, he's as immigration hardline as anybody else who's out there. He's the one who issued the most unequivocal statement that we ought to exercise caution when speaking about this. Why? Because he's, quite frankly, the only career law enforcement official that seems to be the voice in the room here. And if anybody would listen to my advice here, it's simply for the government to take a beat and recognize that sometimes law enforcement does bad things. Most of the time, they do not. But when there's the allegation that they might have, proper investigations and process ought to play out.
Very briefly, is it possible that the administration jumping to conclusions harms the officer? If they clear him in the end, people are not going to believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done themselves a great disservice, one, by keeping out the state officials, but two, with the how unequivocal they've been in speaking about it, because it is now hard for many people in the public to trust what comes from Washington. And again, law enforcement officials are entitled to a great degree of deference. They make tough decisions on the spot,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're infallible. And
Elliot Williams, we got to stop it there. Thanks so much. Former Deputy Assistant Attorney General, thanks.
For the first time ever, NASA is ending a space mission due to a, quote, serious health problem with an astronaut. All four members of the Crew 11 mission are set to leave the International Space Station about a month early. Brendan Byrne of Central Florida Public Media reports.
The crew member needing the medical attention is part of SpaceX's Crew 11 mission, which launched two U.S. astronauts, one from Japan and a Russian cosmonaut, in August. The medical issue, which NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman describes as serious, led to the cancellation of a spacewalk on Thursday.
I've come to the decision that it's in the best interest of our astronauts to return Crew 11 ahead of their planned departure.
NASA didn't release the name of the astronaut or details on the medical diagnosis. The agency's chief health and medical officer, Dr. J.D. Polk, said the crew member is stable.
This actually had nothing to do with the operational environment in preparing for a spacewalk at all. This was totally unrelated to any operations on board.
Polk said while the space station is equipped with first aid and medical equipment, this particular ailment required a closer look at a medical facility back here on Earth.
It's mostly having a medical issue in the difficult areas of microgravity.
It's the first time in 65 years of human spaceflight that NASA has cut a mission short due to a health issue. Isaacman is calling it a medical evacuation, but not an emergency return. He says the splashdown is expected to happen over the next few days.
This is exactly what our astronauts train and prepare for. Everybody did exactly as they had prepared for in a situation like this. They're all trained professionals.
Once departed, the station will be left in the hands of just three people from a Soyuz mission, two cosmonauts and a U.S. astronaut, until Crew 11's scheduled replacement arrives sometime in the next month. For NPR News, I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
It's 6:19. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Friday Morning Show on People Powered KAXE. We are coming up this year on our 50th anniversary. We'll be celebrating all year long. We would love to hear from you. What has KAXE meant to your life here in northern Minnesota? Maybe it's green cheese like tomorrow night. Julie Crabb and her sister Betsy will be hosting. It's going to be a great night of connection and, of course, a little bit of trivia thrown in there. A lot bit of trivia. Make sure you stay tuned. We are expecting mostly to partly sunny skies for our day today with highs 25 to 30, northwest winds 5 to 10, evening lows from 7 to 13. We do have a slight chance of some snow early tomorrow, cloudy skies, blustery northwest winds up to 20 miles an hour with highs in the mid to upper teens. We receive support from Hug Hydronics, committed to making in-floor heating simple, providing in-floor heating solutions for both commercial and residential. More information at hughydronics.com. And thanks to North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at northhomes.org. Minnesota Mixtape is our deep dive into the local music scene coming up today at 10 a.m. and tomorrow at 3 p.m. with your host, Malachi Coons. This week, Duluth Jam Band, Salty.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact. From the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, for nearly a century, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org. From Imaginable Futures, funding programs in the U.S. with the goal of ensuring young children and their parents get the education they need to thrive. Learn more at imaginablefutures.com. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm A. Martinez. In the horror film Sinners, Michael B. Jordan plays identical twins who own a juke joint in the Jim Crow South.
I've been all over this world. I've seen men die in ways I ain't even know was possible.
Jordan is nominated for Best Actor in Dramatic Film at the Golden Globes this weekend, and around Hollywood, he's expected to be nominated for an Oscar as well. Here's NPR's Manolita del Barco.
We meet up with Michael B. Jordan at the Warner Brothers studio in Burbank.
Oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. He's just back from Europe, where he spent a year directing, acting, and producing a new version of the heist thriller, The Thomas Crown Affair. He's one of Hollywood's hottest talents, very much in demand. And before a late-night event, he understandably seems exhausted. For much of our interview, he has his eyes closed.
Are you tired?
Me? No, I'm full of energy.
Cool. Jordan is back in his hometown, L.A., for awards season, promoting Sinners, the film in which he plays twins Smoke and Stack.
Hey, brother, be careful. I will.
Mike is giving one of the most incredible performances I've ever seen. He's really playing two roles. He's got to play Smoke, he's got to play Stack, and spoiler alert, you know, you got to play Vampire Stack, too, you know.
Ryan Coogler wrote, directed, and produced Sinners, which includes scenes in which the Smokestack twins appear on screen together. In one key scene, they even fight each other.
Mike did an incredible amount of work developing a physical language for who each twin is. And a big thing for us was we didn't want it to be cartoonish. You know, he's so good in this movie that we have scenes where we're cutting between close-ups of the twins, and the audience still knows which one is which.
Jordan explains how he differentiated the two.
I wore a half-size, too small shoe for Stack because I wanted him to feel a bit uneasy. And, you know, Smoke, I wore a half-size too big because I wanted him to feel a bit planted and grounded and not able to move too fast. You know, Smoke is in the lower octave. He doesn't talk too much. He smokes a lot of cigarettes, so his voice is a bit tired and raspy. And Stack, on the other hand, is a little bit more buoyant. You know, more whimsical.
The 38-year-old actor was born in Southern California, named not after the basketball icon, but rather his father, Michael A. Jordan.
My middle name is Bakari. It means of noble promise.
Jordan grew up in Newark, New Jersey, and he credits his mom for getting him started in show business.
11 years old, I went in for a doctor's appointment. The receptionist had two little boys around my age that was going to New York for, like, modeling work and all that good stuff. And told my mom, you know what, you should take your son one day to one of these auditions. I went to special audition. I booked it.
Jordan started getting parts in TV commercials and shows like The Sopranos, Cosby, and The Wire. Here he is at 16 on All My Children with another child actor, Amanda Seyfried.
So what happens to the little princess when she breaks into the school?
For your information, I spent the night in jail, okay?
Spent the night in jail, so you're street now, huh?
In 2013, Jordan got his big movie break in Coogler's first feature, Fruitvale Station.
I'm good. We're gonna be good.
In the biographical drama, Jordan played Oscar Grant, a 22-year-old unarmed man shot and killed by transit police in Oakland in 2009. Then Coogler cast Jordan in his Black Panther films. In a widely celebrated performance, Jordan plays the villain, Eric Killmonger, who chooses to die rather than be imprisoned.
Just bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships, because they knew death was better than bondage.
Jordan and Coogler also teamed up for their series of Creed films in the Rocky saga. Jordan plays the son of fighter Apollo Creed. Coog, as Jordan calls him, says they've enjoyed a long friendship and collaboration.
So we've done 5 films together as a director and actor, and then we produced Creed 3, which was his directorial debut. Like, I always knew he was going to produce, because when I first met him, he was talking about how he had just optioned a book. You know, this was when he was in his mid-20s. He was already thinking like that, you know what I mean? I said, oh, this dude is going to have a long career.
Actor Delroy Lindo, who co-stars in Sinners, says he admires how Jordan is navigating Hollywood, acting, directing, and producing.
Mike and certain actors of his generation are establishing a way of working on their own terms. And I'm knocking wood because I hope and I pray that maintains and sustains. It's a different model.
Michael B. Jordan was once named People magazine's sexiest man alive. Now he's really owning his leading man role, plus...
Heavy is the crown. You're in that position, I guess.
Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News, Los Angeles.
Okay, Michael B. Jordan is not just nominated for a Golden Globe. He is also one of the Globe nominees who have been here on Morning Edition.
You are correct, sir. We have also talked to Ethan Hawke. He's nominated for his role in Blue Moon. He transformed into Broadway legend Lorenz Hart in a movie about the end of his songwriting partnership with Richard Rodgers.
Basically, we're watching a human being die of a heartbreak in 90 minutes.
We also heard from Amanda Seyfried, who's up for playing the title role in The Testament of Anne Lee. It's a story about a woman who led a pacifist religious sect during the American Revolution.
Why do you have to pick a side? What happens when you just want to keep creating sanctuary for people?
Also nominated, Ava Victor, who wrote, directed, and starred in Sorry Baby. It's about a woman who survived a sexual assault and somehow found things to laugh about.
This kind of experience is so surreal and bizarre, and so many things do become really funny, trying to make sense of this world and feeling awkward in it.
Nominees for Best Actress in a Dramatic Film include Tessa Thompson. She came on the show to talk about Hedda, as in Hedda Gabler, which is one of the stage's greatest tales of jealousy.
Unchecked, it can be a very ugly emotion, but I think fundamentally what jealousy does is it helps us understand the lives that we want to live, the things that we want.
Sci-fi favorite Black Mirror is up for Best Television Limited Series. We talked to creator Charlie Brooker about finding terror in technology.
Was reality always boring and we were just waiting for phones to come along and distract us? Or have the phones kind of rewired our brains?
Wow, what a question. And this list of Golden Globe nominees also includes a very familiar group of people. Us.
Correctamundo, Steve. Steve and I, along with Michelle Martin, Layla Fadel, Scott Simon, and Aisha Roscoe, we all share hosting duties for Up First, which is nominated in a brand new category specifically for podcasts.
This is very exciting. Can't wait to find out the results. Honored to be nominated, et cetera, et cetera. The Golden Globe winners will be announced on Sunday night. There's actually a whole bunch of amazing podcast nominees. You should look up the list. It includes NPR News.
After devastating floods hit Central Texas last summer, families whose daughters died at a girls' sleepaway camp are keeping their legacies alive by giving back.
They were going to do such big things and make such an impact on the world. We can't snuff that light out.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. That story on All Things Considered from NPR News.
You can tune in to All Things Considered. It's coming up today at 4 o'clock. Up next, we've got National Native News. We're learning about how activities at Native organizations and a tribal college in Minneapolis were canceled after the shooting by an ICE agent. Stay tuned for that story. It is 6:30. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer, and it's Friday morning.
It is. Hard to believe. Good morning.
Good morning. Coming up.
I was just going to do the weather. Areas of fog early, partly sunny with highs 25 to 30 with northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Maybe a gust of 25. Possible continued snow and less than a half an inch accumulation is expected tonight with lows around 8 to 11. Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs 14 to 19. Blustery northwest winds 10 to 20. Evening lows of 0 to 8. And then Sunday, partly sunny with highs 21 to 25. Breezy west winds 5 to 15 miles per hour with gusts of 20 miles per hour.
Coming up later this morning, about 7:20, it is the Border News Roundup with Marshall Helmberger. And one of the big stories is that for a week, he had a lynx hanging out in his yard.
A lynx?
A whole week. There's some great photos at timberjay.com because he had a deer carcass. And the lynx kept coming back for it until the wolves came, and then it took off. But
just a normal day.
Yeah.
Wow.
The photos are amazing. I'll bring those up.
Yeah, I have to see though. That's rare, very rare. I've seen a lynx twice in my life, and I've been around a while.
You know, it's so funny to look at those because he said the funny thing is it basically is acting like a house cat. You know, like it kind of doesn't care. It's aloof. It's got its own business, real cash. But then those legs are so substantial and kind of funny looking compared to a cat.
They're just meat, just big softball gloves on the ground.
Meaty business. Yeah. So anyway, that is coming up later this morning. We'll hear about that as well as Tower Ambulance Service and their termination of the director. Stay tuned. We've got lots ahead for you. We've got sports. It's been a while. It's going to be fun to catch up a little bit. The Unrivaled League started last weekend.
So, Nafisha Collier.
Right. She's there because she's running
it. Sure,
And so she's doing some of the play-by-play a little bit here and there. But yeah, two new teams in the league. Paige Beckers was sort of the star of the games I saw. Her team won. She was in a new team, and they were the younger ones. And
she played last year?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right.
So, real fun. It's different. It's my brain is not quite used to it yet. There'll be games tonight and tomorrow night, and you know they have the fun. Goes a little quicker thing where they get to the fourth quarter. Whoever has the highest score in the third quarter, you add 11 points, and then whoever gets that.
Say it again.
First,
say it again.
Wins.
Team that has the what?
Highest points in the third quarter. You add 11 points to that. And then whoever gets to that in the fourth quarter first wins.
Oh. Wow.
So it goes, so the timing is much faster. There's no overtime. There's none of that. So, yeah. Not that I don't think you guys will be watching that, but that's been fun.
I didn't know it had started yet.
I know.
We've had coyotes on our lake all the time, constantly watching them. They're beautiful. They look beautiful. Sometimes you see them in certain stages of the year and they look just mangy, but they look just like a miniature timber wolf. But I experienced something yesterday. The fog. Now, I don't know what it was like on the lake you live on. Was it immense? Like, could you see across the lake?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. I took the dogs for a walk. It was like, I don't know what it's like to be in heaven, but it was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It was calm and you couldn't see. You could almost get disoriented, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, but it's like there's a moisture in it that like cleanses you.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was reborn, Heidi.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just like I'm a new man.
Yeah.
Cleaned. All my sins have been bled off my face and my body.
Holy
and I
cow.
Just came back a
That's
new guy.
Dramatic.
Yeah, it
what
was.
What are you going to do in this new life of yours?
I don't know.
With your one precious life.
I know, but that it was you spiritual. It was spiritual.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not getting loose here. I'm just saying it was amazing. It was so quiet, too.
Getting loose.
Well, I mean, I'm not getting crazy. I'm not getting spiritual. I'm going to start, you know, leading a choir.
Maybe you
or
should.
Something like that. No. But it was a cleansing. It was very good.
We went skiing yesterday afternoon in our woods, and it was, I described the trees as melting.
Yeah.
It was rain, but it was because the ice was melting. It wasn't actually rain. Ice or whatever is on the trees at the moment is just dripping. Yeah, it came in. My hair was wet. And,
yeah.
But nice, you know, you could, even in the short amount of time we were out there, you could feel the trails were starting to ice up as it was getting colder.
Yep, it got cold. Yeah. I went to shovel it into my driveway, which you always get that residue, and I thought, yeah, I got to get on that. And I went out there about 4, and it was, got a little cool.
Yeah.
But it's been good weather.
Fun to watch there. So let us know how your Friday morning's going. We want you to know you're invited to join us for breakfast this morning. That is coming up at 7:45. We're looking for someone to join us, a member of KEXE. If you want to just, you know, maybe you have also been reborn by the fog and you decide, I'm going to be on the radio today, you can text 218-326-1234. The Saxon Bog and Meadowlands is hosting a conversation about quantifying the environmental benefits and impacts of peatland restoration in Minnesota. That is today, 12 to 1:30. Research Professor Chris Lenhart will lead that discussion.
And the question of the week, What are you looking forward to this year?
You know, we didn't realize kind of what a tough week it was going to be in the state of Minnesota, in the world. And so we haven't heard from many people on this.
People are just shut down.
What are you looking forward to? Yeah. But let us know. The text line's open. We'd love to hear from you this morning. 218-326-1234. Yesterday, we were talking about libraries with Aaron Brown and how libraries around the state of Minnesota, his recent column.
I saw that.
Points out some of that stuff. We also were talking about in the wake of the fatal shooting of the woman in Minneapolis by ICE about how to limit yourself on media, not turn away from the news completely.
Yeah.
But how to kind of help yourself be sane by not getting too bogged down in it, and especially not in social media. So
yeah, you just were curious, and it's hard to shut it down, but it's very important to do so. We would like to thank the Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, offering fresh baked popovers, crafted cocktails, and menu items such as walleye a la Ritz and chicken Kiev. Information and dinner menu available at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Activities at Native organizations and a tribal college in Minneapolis, Minnesota were canceled after an ICE agent fatally shot a woman Wednesday morning in the city. The Minneapolis American Indian Center canceled its Wednesday night programs due to community safety concerns and ICE activity in the neighborhood. The Red Lake Nation College, the Red Lake Nation Embassy, and the Tribe's Wellness Center in Minneapolis closed Wednesday and are expected to be closed for the rest of the week due to the incident. McGizzy, which supports Native youth in the Twin Cities, also canceled its programming. Tribes are expressing concerns about the incident and the safety of Native community members living in the Twin Cities. The Red Lake Tribal Council is urging its citizens to be careful and to avoid ICE and other federal agents. The council released a 2-page written message Wednesday outlining concerns, which includes asking tribal members to report any interactions with ICE to the tribe's council or embassy. The Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa also raised concerns in a written message to its community about the safety of tribal members living in the Twin Cities. Robert Pilot is the host of Native Roots Radio based in the Twin Cities. He says the Native community is feeling the impacts of the shooting.
The reaction I've seen with the Native community has been just aghast at what's happened. 75,000 Native Americans live in Minneapolis. In that area of the shooting, there's a very high percentage of Native Americans that live in that community, and they feel their community is being attacked by the federal government.
Pilot says members of the Native community are standing with their allies and took part in demonstrations against ICE on Wednesday in the area of the shooting.
There was a woman Native singer group that sang, and it's all about the healing. And I think the community, especially that community, really knows that the Native community is is really involved and really vetted into everything that happens there, happens to them. And it was only a very short blocks away from the murder of George Floyd, and that community is so scarred, but we have a resilience, and our Native community is there and was there and is there and will still be there. We also are a big part of the community, and we want people to be safe, but we also want to be heard and be out there and support our community too, because this is our community too, and all of Turtle Island is our community.
The woman killed was identified as 37-year-old Renee Good. The Trump administration is justifying the shooting, while the city's mayor disputes that and is demanding ICE leave Minneapolis. On Wednesday, a 3-judge panel in Phoenix, Arizona, heard arguments over continuing a court-ordered injunction blocking a controversial land exchange. As KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio reports, the land swap would result in a copper mining operation that's estimated to create a 2-mile-wide crater, devouring an Apache holy site.
It's been 140 days since the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals delayed a land swap first approved by Congress more than a decade ago. According to the 2015 law, 2,400 acres of Tonto National Forest must be turned over to Resolution Copper within 60 days of a final environmental impact statement being published, which happened in June. Plaintiffs in three different cases include the Arizona Mining Reform Coalition, San Carlos Apache Tribe, and a group of Apache women and girls. Defendants asked for the injunction to be lifted, which could lead to an immediate public land transfer. The judges did not say when their decision will be made. For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
music there from the nunnery, kind of a fun...
Peaceful.
No, fun. Yeah, peaceful is the right word.
That's how my brain sounded when I was walking in the fog, just
well,
like
Well, I'm glad for you. I don't quite have that, but this music helped me there. The Nunnery is the name of the band, and the song was called, this sort of fits in for you, it's called Garden of Your Heart.
Hmm.
And it's an electro folk project of Sarah Elstran. Fourth album dabbles in moody trip hop on the second half.
Hmm.
We have a new album that I got left at my desk by Malachi Coons, and he wanted to make sure that you saw it and to maybe have you choose some music off of it too. So it's Friday morning. This is People Powered KAXE. Like, is there any of the titles you'd like to hear from this morning?
Well, could you help me pronounce them? What is this? Chewin Hiladrola Dala. Rock Action Records.
Your choice.
By Gruff Rock. I'm supposed to pick some out now?
No. Well, when we're done here, yeah, we could play something.
Wow. Okay.
What looks good to you?
Maybe Tarot number 1 and 2 or Saf RD said. What is this, a joke?
No.
What is this kind of music? You know? Do you, are you even aware what this is?
Yeah.
That didn't sound like a very confident, yeah.
No, I do. I just have to look for what he left me a note about.
Dim Probs, Adar Gwyn, Gadiel Thi Find, Sla, Aqua, Akko. Okay.
Yeah, well, it
give
is.
Give me a chance to think about the selections. I don't even know what this album
they're
cover
all
is.
In Welsh.
Oh, and is this like a Dachshund with a Hoss Cartwright hat laying on a blanket?
Dachshund?
Dachshund.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's what they're called, is Dachshunds.
Are they?
Dachshunds.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, I want to promote something.
Okay.
I want to promote this movie, Song Sung Blue.
Oh, okay. The Neil Diamond.
I went to it thinking it was like a Bruce Springsteen or a Queen or a Elton John. I didn't know. But it is so good, Heidi. Mm. You need, you must go. I don't want to be. It was so good. I can't. Gamut of emotions.
Mm.
Great music, great acting. Wow. It really was. It was one of those movies that I sat in and the first 2 minutes I'm going, what the heck am I doing here? This is goofy.
Did you have popcorn?
No.
Okay.
No, did not. But for anybody that's listening, it's a very good, very, very good movie. And I don't know if it's up for any awards, if it's too late of a movie, but it must be.
Out before the end of the year, so yeah, I think it's up for it. I think I heard earlier on Morning Edition, Golden Globes are this weekend, but then Oscars not for a couple months.
So. 2 more months.
We coming up next, we'll have the talk back segment. We're expecting areas of fog rolling around this morning, partly sunny skies with highs 25 to 30 degrees, northwest winds 5 to 10. Chance of snow this afternoon, but looking like less than a half an inch accumulation as it continues into the evening. Gusting winds today up to 25 miles an hour. Tonight, temperatures 8 to 11. And tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs 14 to 19 degrees.
Want to thank Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. mnpower.com/energyforward. And support from Paperstorm, providing on-site paper shredding services to commercial and residential customers throughout central and northern Minnesota, accepting old paperwork during tax season with secure shredding services. More information at paperstorm.net.
We got we heard from folks this week. I'm kind of taking a look at some of the things that have been coming in on our text line. The number is 218-326-1234. On what day is today? It is the 9th. So Wednesday morning, there was a whole conversation going on, looking ahead to see, well, I'll bring it to you in just a minute. You can begin.
I can begin?
Our talkbacks, yes.
Our talkback segment. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at comments@kaxe.org or text us, which is a beautiful thing. It just poof, pops up in an instant. We don't have to answer the phone. It's beautiful. 218-326-1234.
Brian from Duluth donated last week, and he said, my wife and I are longtime listeners. We both love your station. Thank you for providing all of your listeners with great music, local stories, and community camaraderie. And a huge thank you to all the volunteers that give so much of their time, resources, and energy.
And Christine from St. Paul also donated and commented, "You are not my local station, but you make my life better when I stream you." That's nice.
Katie from Minneapolis told us on Saturday, "I'm enjoying Green Cheese as usual and all the other programming. Love the music, morning show, and especially the Phenology Report. Donating to KEXC is the best way to spend my birthday money. I'm a sustaining member, but times are hard, and you all keep the listeners sane, informed, and entertained. Happy New Year to everyone at KEXC." Thanks, Katie.
And Maria from Grand Rapids was listening to Headwaters on Tuesday morning and said, "Malachi, great Headwaters today. I've been shazamming left and right to add lots of these songs to my 2026 playlist. Side note, KAXC should host another event where the public can weigh in on the song."
Yeah, we had Judge That Jam.
Yeah.
We talked to Minnesota Star Tribune columnist Aaron Brown yesterday, mostly about his recent column about public libraries. We got a text that said, "Thank you for having Aaron Brown on your morning show. Everyone should hear his talk on libraries and their importance. They are not just a free bookstore." Great interview.
And John from Big Fork texted yesterday morning while DJ Dang hosted Headwaters. "He played a father and a daughter back to back. John said, Johnny Clyde Copeland and Shamika too. Hell yeah."
And on the Wednesday morning show, we had some things, some texts that were coming in. I think it was about the childhood cereals.
Which is always fun.
Yeah, I must have missed this. That's why I was struggling a little bit earlier, trying to figure out what's going on. But we did hear from Laura, who said, "I loved going to my grandparents' house. They had the small variety boxes of cereal. I once got a Jackson 5 record that was a punch out on the back of a cereal box. Steve from St. Paul Como said, "I too had the submarine." That was like one of the gifts in the, I think you put baking soda in it or something. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
The what?
Submarine. Yeah, something with baking soda or something.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It was a little rubber thing and had a string, and you put it, did this whole bubble.
That came in a cereal box?
Yeah, it's what the gift, you know, the toy.
I don't remember that.
Honey Sugar Crisp had an album that you cut out of the back of the box. I forgot the song.
They were hard to play. They were flimsy, but it was a great idea.
It was. It was really cool. I remember that too. They didn't last long, that's for sure.
No. And you talk about cereals. I happened to watch Last night I watched a Family Guy episode, and he was picked over for, he might have, you know, a suspicion of drunken driving. He said, "Well, your voice is slurred." He says, "Because they just ate a bowl of Captain Crunch." I thought that was pretty clever. Because you know what I mean, right? Just gets jammed up in your gums and stuff.
You get raw in the roof.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you can't stop eating it. It's it's ridiculous. Kari talked about how we did a cereal challenge a few years ago at KXC, and we tried alphabet cereal, remembering how much we all love them. They did not taste as good.
Remember, I got one from Canada. Someone brought, and it didn't taste right.
They're talking about Cinnamon Toast Crunch. AJ and Bemidji weighed in. Do you guys remember French Toast Crunch?
Yeah.
Far superior. Also, I'm pro fork for cinnamon rolls. It's not weird. It's less messy.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's a big topic.
What, forks?
Yeah, or
rolls?
Picking it up with your hand, or just using a fork. I would be the, when I was younger, it would be the hand, and as I get older, it's cleanliness is next to a.
Well, let's take a listen. I want you to choose one of the songs off of here. Malachi says we're really gonna like it. All of the titles are in Welsh. The band is Gruff Rhys, R H Y S.
Well, I'm gonna go with Chewin Hywel Drol a Dol. That is selection number 6, Heidi. Chewin Hywel Drol a Dol. Hit the button.
Well, gwyn a chwyn a chwyn a chwyn am y chwyn Hywel Drol a Dol sy'n dinistrio fy ngardd. Mae'n anodd cychwyn a chwyn am ei dail bendigedig sydd yn edrych mor hardd.
Edrych mor hardd.
Chwyn i rai, a'i ni eraill. Siwn i rai, i fi ac eraill. Adfer bro, fy ngenedigaeth, drwy gerddoriaeth.
pleisio a phwysleisio fo drai mynd i'r bwch bledleisio does dwi'n taw ar fy nghwyn fel corsef y brwyn a trosydd a ffrin fy llodrau does dwi'n blodau ddigon bodlon all drai mylon fy ngheg yn gryman fach deg chwyn i rai a'r i eraill siwn i rai i fi a ceraill adfer bro fy ngenedigaeth drwy gerddoriaeth rhwystredigaeth pan ddaw tro ar fi frio fewn y gwagle troi llwn yn ddidaro mewn dirfodaeth drwy ddidra chwyn i rai a'r i eraill siwn i rai i fi ac eraill adfer bro fy ngenedigaeth drwy gerddoriaeth gweledigaeth chwyn i rai a'r i eraill siwn i rai i fi ac eraill adfer bro fy ngenedigaeth drwy gerddoriaeth profedigaeth.
Oh, wow.
Brand new music there from Gruff Reese.
And would you pronounce the name of that song, please?
Chewin who will droll a doll. It is well. There's some Kleenex right there. Beautiful to listen to. This is what the music team has written about it. Beautiful to listen to, but damn hard to say. Try your best.
Oh,
Reese led the cult Welsh band Super Furry Animals for many years. It is fun, though.
I wonder if Dick Clark would give that a 9 because it's easy to dance to.
It was fun.
Need a napkin. He needs a handkerchief to sing.
Thanks, Malachi, for passing that on to John. That was
exactly, I think,
what he wanted.
It's what we needed this morning.
Coming up, we'll have the Up North report. We're getting updates about the ICE agent identification in Minneapolis, as well as Hibbing schools in crisis from our news team. Stay tuned for that.
I want to thank Headwaters Music and Arts in downtown Bemidji, offering music lessons and art programming for all ages. More at headwatersmusicandarts.org or on Facebook or Instagram.
Coming up in our next half hour, Marshall Helmberger and more local news for the Up North Report. This Saturday from 1 to 3 at the Minnesota Discovery Center in Hibbing, they have a screening of the season 6 premiere of All Creatures, Great and Small. It's from 1 to 3 p.m. And tonight at the McCrosty Art Center, it is the Res Reporter performing.
All right.
And you can get your tickets at mccrostyartcenter.org, comedian. And lots of things we'll be telling you about throughout the region.